This is a reading from the book of Numbers in the 13th chapter. The Lord said to Moses in the desert of Paran, "Send men to reconnoiter the land of Canaan, which I am giving the children of Israel, and you shall send one man from each ancestral tribe, all of them princes." After reconnoitering the land for 40 days, they returned and met Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation of the children of Israel in the desert of Paran, Kadesh, and made a report to them all, showed the fruit of the country to the whole congregation. And they told Moses, "We went into the land that you sent us. It does indeed flow with milk and honey, and here is the fruit. However, the people who are living there in that land are fierce, and the towns are fortified and very strong. Besides, we saw descendants of the Anakim there. Amalekites also live in the region of the Negev. Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites dwell in the highlands, and Canaanites along the seacoast and the banks of the Jordan." Caleb, however, to quiet the people toward Moses, said, "We ought to go up and seize the land, for we can certainly do so." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people. They are too strong for us." So they spread discouraging reports among the children of Israel about the land they had scouted, saying, "The land we explored is a country that consumed its inhabitants. All the people we saw there were huge, veritable giants. The Anakim were a race of giants. We felt like mere grasshoppers, and so we must have seemed to them." At this, the whole community broke out with loud cries. Even in the night, the people wailed. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this wicked assembly grumble against me? I have heard the grumblings of the children of Israel against me. Tell them, 'By my life, says the Lord, I will do to you just what I have heard you say. Here in the desert, you shall your dead bodies fall. 40 days you spent scouting the land, 40 years you shall suffer for your crimes, one year for each day. Thus you will realize what it means to oppose me. I, the Lord, have sworn to do this, to all this wicked assembly that conspired against me. Here in the desert they shall die to the last man." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to talk about this first reading a bit. You know, I've tried to say to you on many occasions that I think that how to understand hell and judgment and so on is something that we have to be careful about, because it's not... In the end, I think what explains hell and people living apart from God forever is not so much God's anger as His respect. Respect for the choices that people make. And, you know, the idea, I think, that in the end, many people, in many different ways, basically say they're not interested in the kingdom of God. And they say that in many different ways. Some of them just outright reject it by shaking their fist and so on. And others just, in a more subtle way, just simply don't prefer it. Now, I want to get back to a couple of examples of how that can happen, but just let's look at the reading. You've got people who have seen signs and wonders. And God has led them out. Imagine, you know, the sea parting and you go through. I mean, imagine this miracle food. Imagine water from the rock. Imagine all these miracles that they have seen. And now God sends them to reconnoiter this land, and to they come back all anxious and full of fear, and saying, we can't do it. These people are big people. They're fierce, and we can't do it. We just it's too much trouble. No, let's not do it. Now imagine, God has promised them this land. That's the whole point of the journey. And yet they're basically saying, no, it would be too much trouble to take this promised land. So let's not do it. And only Joshua and Caleb end up saying, no, wait a minute, God told us we can take it, and He told us to take it. We ought to go take it. And the people just practically devour them, saying, no way. Now, this isn't just about fear. This is about a lack of faith, and this is also just plain old sloth. You know, it's just too much trouble. And, you know, to have to go to war, to have to go and take this land by force is just too much trouble. Let's, and of course, God reacts by saying, all right, If you don't want the promised land, you don't have to have it. But the option is you die in the desert. But if you don't want it, you don't have to have it. I'm not going to force you to take it. I'm not going to force you to, I'm not going to, like puppets on a string, you know, literally drive you forward and make you take this land through a military conquest. I'm just saying, if you don't want that, you don't have to have it. And God is not pleased. I'll tell you, you shall die in the desert, is his answer. It's almost as though he's a forsaken lover. You don't want me? You don't have to have me. But you'll live without me forever. You know, that kind of almost a forsaken, jilted lover, you know. Well, there it is. What about us? What about the kingdom of heaven? Because remember, the promised land is an image for heaven. The desert, if you will, is an image for this world. And the conquest necessary is what we call spiritual combat. It's an image for spiritual combat. Let's be honest. Taking the kingdom of heaven does involve some struggle. We have to struggle against the passions. We have to struggle to believe, to have greater trust. We have to begin to adopt what we would call kingdom values, which are very often very different from the ways of the world, and require a bit of courage on our part. The world says, basically, indulge yourself, eat dessert first. The world is just simply absolutely crazy about sexuality. They're off the chart crazy, self-indulgent and so on about that. Forgiveness, please. It's about revenge. It's about, you know, it's about serving up revenge to your enemies. It's about violence. And so on. So we live very in a world which is very hostile, and to live our kingdom values requires something of us. And the fact that we've had so many martyrs in the faith indicates to us that there is very often quite a high price to pay to live in a world that is so hostile, but to live in that world with faith. So all of this starts, this situation they're in the desert is a very symbolic but very real description of our life. Now, there are many people who simply say to God that taking the kingdom of heaven is just too much trouble. It requires too much of me. I'd rather not, thank you. And again, God says, then I respect your choice, but the option, I want you to know, is you're either going to live with me in heaven or you're going to be in hell. But the choice is yours. And if you want hell, you can have hell. You don't have to live with me. And I think that God is angry about that. God loves us and wants us to spend eternity with him. And when we simply say to him, no, or it's too much trouble, God respects that choice because he did make us free. But in the end, that is our choice. And there is a consequence to that. Now, how do people reject the kingdom, though? Do they just, you know, pardon the expression, but give God the middle finger? Well, some people do. Some people just shake their fist and give, are very adamant about not wanting a God in the kingdom. They ridicule the church. They ridicule the teachings of the Bible. They laugh at these things. They refuse. They don't want to be under authority. And they're very bold and very ugly about it. And so some people are that way. But I would say to you that the vast majority of people who don't want the kingdom just reject it a little bit more subtly. They just basically say, look, you know, let's put it this way. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everybody wants to live in the kingdom. Now, I've used this expression with you before, but everyone wants to go to heaven as they define heaven. Heaven will be basically a very egocentric world that I want, that everything will go my way. I'll have what I want. And that's kind of many people's vision of heaven. Whereas the scriptures are clear, no, the kingdom of heaven is about things like justice, mercy, love of enemies. The kingdom of heaven is about chastity. The kingdom of heaven is about God being at the center, about the worship and the praise of God, and so on. So there are many values, if you will, that are at the heart and center of the kingdom that many people simply don't want much to do with. For example, God being at the center? You mean I have to pray? acknowledge God, go to church. Man, that's a lot of trouble, you know. I'd rather just serve myself. And it's not an ugly, I hate God. It's just, well, that's just all that praying and stuff. It's just not for me. You know, I'm just not a religious person. Thank you, I'd rather not. Some people, are, when they're confronted with the idea that they need to learn to love their enemy and to try, by God's grace, to forgive, are like, I want no part of that. I want to hold on to my anger, and I'm right, and nobody's going to tell me I'm not. And, you know, and I don't want to forgive, and I'm going to seek revenge, and by God, that's the way I want to live my life. I don't want to talk about forgiveness. I want retaliation and revenge. And again, it's not that they're really confronting God directly. They're just saying that what the kingdom of God is, I'm not interested in. I don't want it, or I find it obnoxious. And again, listen, do we need to talk much about sexuality? I mean, a lot of people that think that the church is crazy and all these teachings about not having sex with anybody you want, whenever you want, under any circumstances you want, is too restrictive, and they want to just do their own thing, and they don't want to live chastely, and really do, they don't want any part of it. And so again, in a way, what they're saying is what the kingdom of God is, I don't want us. And God respects that choice. And in the end, though, the options are two. You either accept these things and the terms of the kingdom, or you live in hell. And people are upset about that. Well, that's not fair. Well, it's absolutely fair. It's simply God saying, look, I've promised, I've given you a promised land, here it is, but here are the terms, you gotta kind of struggle to get there. You gotta work to get there. There's a little bit of spiritual combat involved, and by God, when you get there, this is what the essence of the kingdom is. And again, a lot of people say, too much trouble. I don't want those things. I just rather live in the desert. And God says, fine, live in the desert. Well, that's what I want to just say with you about this reading today. Now, again, let me also maybe make one little qualifier just to be careful here. There are some people who struggle about sexuality or forgiveness or whatever, you know, some of the other kingdom values. And they struggle through weakness. Well, that's one thing. And I'm saying that we have to, you know, be serious about our struggle to try to repent and do better. But it's one thing to fall through weakness and say, but I accept what God is saying to me and I'm going to try to do better. That's one thing, but I'm not talking about that group of people. I'm talking about those that say, there's nothing wrong with it. And what I would simply say is, do not call good what God has called evil. And do not call stupid or backward or simplistic or all the things that the world says about what God has called good. It's not so much those who have struggled through weakness that are excluded, but rather those who simply say, what the kingdom of God is, I am not interested in or find obnoxious. And then be careful with that. There's a lot of people like that today. Their attitude is very contrary to what the kingdom of God is. And be careful, because in the end, God says, what you want, you get. Choose. If you want the kingdom, here it is, here are the terms, and it's yours. If you don't, you can die in the desert. You can live in hell forever. The choice is yours. And I would say that's probably the best way to understand judgment and hell. Amen.